It's time for Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker, a media ministry of the Rushing Wind Church of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me?
Contact Pastor Tucker at rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com. Or through the website, www.rushingwindchurch.com. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.
Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." You and I are made of dust, amen? We're made of dirt. The Bible says that He created man and woman out of dirt. So you're no cleaner than I am. We're all dirt. And one of these days, we came from the dirt, and one of these days we're going to go back to the dirt. But along the road, we pick up a lot more dust than we need. Anybody love dusting the house? Nobody likes that, do they? I've seen every color of feather duster trying to make it more fun, and it didn't help. Then they came out with Swiffers, and that's not any more fun either, because you have to take that nasty thing off and throw it away. You have to handle that dust, that dirt. Pledge is good, and it makes... We used to have a lady that would clean the pulpit at the other church that I pastored, and I always knew when she had cleaned the pulpit, because she used the pledge on it, which gives a little shine in itself. Then she'd go over it with the Murphy's oil. And every time I'd try to lay something down, it would be sliding all over the place. It was so slick, and I'd have oil on my hands, and it wasn't from anointing people. You know, it was from the pulpit. We have this thing with dust, but most of that dust comes from us. Like 80-90% of it is skin. Once we're born, we begin dying. And every day we go a little farther on that journey of going back to where we came from in this physical body. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. In our physical bodies, that's what happens. If you leave a coat hanging in the closet all summer long in the wintertime, it's usually got dust on the shoulders, doesn't it? If you leave things sitting for very long, you'll see a film of dust over it. It's because that's the way life is. Now, with us spiritually, the same thing happens. If we don't exercise our prayer life, it becomes dusty. There's an old song that my grandmother used to sing. My grandmother used to sing old songs in the house. She'd never sing in front of anybody except us grandkids. But she would sing an old song called "Dust on the Bible." Dust on God's holy word. And it's sad that we have that situation happening with the Bible just laying. I saw a car the other day. It reminded me of being a kid. They had the Bible thrown up in the back window. I thought, I bet that rides there all week long till Sunday morning. And that's the way we live our life. But our spiritual life becomes the same way a lot of times. That we don't do anything through the week to get the dust off of us so that when we come into God's house, it's more time dusting us than it is us getting anything out of it. We wonder about what used to happen in church and why we don't have those kind of services anymore. It's because we're not praying and fasting through the week. You hear about the good old days when the little ladies would walk to church with the kids all in tow behind them. If it was a very far walk, they'd pack a picnic lunch and carry the basket with them so they could feed the children. But we forget one piece of what a lot of those ladies were doing the time they were walking. They weren't fighting with the kids. The kids knew better. They weren't fussing about their husband who didn't get out of bed and go with them, or who left the house early so that they didn't have to hear an invitation. But what they were doing many times is they were praying and giving God praise all the way to God's house, so that when they got there, they were primed and ready. Amen. For God to come down among His people and be in the midst of His children. And I thought about all these things as I began to look at scriptures for this morning. And Job 38:38 says, when the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, reminded me as a child being out in the garden or the tobacco field where Grandpa had just plowed and disked that dirt. When that had been done, you could walk through that dirt barefoot and loved it. On a hot afternoon as the sun was going down, that dirt would be good and cold. And it would be so silky smooth as you walked through there until you got to the clods. And the big clods of dirt would cause you to trip and fall, or they would hurt the bottom of your foot if you stepped on them. I began to put all these things together and think about us as human beings and what kind of dust we attach ourselves to. And it becomes a stumbling block to us because we don't clear it out of our way. Amen. You see, you and I are around dirt and dust all the time. Everywhere we go. If you go to Walmart, you just open your ears and listen a little bit. You'll hear the dirt. If you sit down in front of the TV, you hear the dirt and see it if you don't turn the channel fast enough. It's gotten to the point that even when there's a family movie on or something that is okay to watch, they have to throw it into the commercials so that you still get the dirt that goes along with this world. Every place that you go and work, I can tell you I've worked in Christian establishments. I still had dirt on me when I left that place because all of us are not who we pretend we are. Even when you come to God's house and deal with church people, you leave many times with dust on you. The problem is that you and I need to understand we have to shake that dust off of us. And if we're going to do that, then we'll find a freedom that comes in Jesus Christ truly being set free instead of allowing those things to bring shackles upon us. See, I remember one time going out and I got in so much trouble when I got home. A cousin and I went out to the pond just down the road and we decided to look for turtles. And the pond was about half dried up, so you could walk way out into where the pond should have been. And the further we got toward the water, the muddier it got. And we didn't really care or mind that our feet were getting muddy, and our shoes were getting muddy, and our socks were disappearing. And we just kept slurping our feet up out, you know, sound that the mud would make as you picked your foot up, and we would just keep on going, and we were all the way down above our knees looking for turtles. Lord, if we'd got a hold of a snapping turtle, it's untelling what would have happened to it. But I remember when I got home from that place, from that pond, and having so much fun playing in that stinky mud that stunk to high heaven. But we were playing in the mud, and I got home, and I was almost afraid to even let Mom know I was back on our property. But she saw me coming. Back in those days, we had the windows open in the summertime. We didn't have air conditioning. So she had seen me coming down the road. We were making too much noise on our bikes, which were also covered in mud. And Mom caught us at the front door. I know you two don't think you're coming in my house looking like that. Yeah. You go around back, I'll meet you. And she took the water hose to us and sprayed us down with cold water to get the mud off of us before she would ever even let us consider or think about going in the house. And the shoes and the socks had to be just left because they were so muddy and we were so dirty. My goodness. What would happen if we just took a spiritual water hose to ourselves on Sunday morning before we came into God's house? and began to clean ourselves off and shake that dirt and dust off of us to get rid of the clods of mud that has dried to us from the week. What would happen if we began to give God so much praise that even the crustiest dirt in us began to just disintegrate because of His power and His anointing?
Amen.
You and I would find a freedom that comes in Jesus Christ that would set us truly free, because the Bible says when He sets you free, you are free indeed. That means no more returning to the bondage that you were once under. And I don't know about you, but I need some time every now and then just to break free and to shake out of the mess that I've been in and have been around so that I can be free again. The Bible says in Matthew 10, verses 12 through 14, and when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. You know, we're supposed to be peacemakers. Not drama people, but peacemakers. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. Take it with you. Take your blessing with you too. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. If they don't want to be around you because of the life that you live, if you're truly living a Christian life, then shake it off. You know, it's funny, we tell our kids, don't we? The little bitty ones. When they fall, when they bump their knees, when they scrape their little hands, we'll get them up. Get up and shake it off. Just shake it off now. And we'll do all kinds of little silly things. Now shake it off. Don't we? We act plumb silly with kids. Ladies, don't we? Come on. The men are not going to admit it. They do it only behind closed doors. But we act silly with our kids. But my goodness, what is it that has gotten us so dignified and holy and sanctified that we can't act silly before an almighty God who created us? Many years ago, sitting at Winterfest is going on this weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee. Many years ago, we were at Winterfest and Rod Parsley was preaching, and I couldn't tell you anything that he said except this one statement: there's nothing worse than a bunch of tame Pentecostals. We've gotten so dignified that we ought to look a certain way and dress a certain way and be just as classy and upright as everybody else. But my oh my, what happened to the days that we are trying to forget? Where the ladies would shout the hairpins out and their hair would fall down that they had just gotten fixed on Saturday morning at the beauty shop.
Amen.
Or if it's a good beauty shop, they'd go on Friday so they could cook on Saturday. And everything would be set for Sunday. Come on, some of you are old enough to remember that. I'm not that old. Some of you are a lot older. I remember those times, and you've heard me talk about the church that I first came into, the Church of God in, where the front pew was loose from the floor from the two ladies that sat there. One was the pastor's wife and another lady who would shout and bump up against that thing till they had knocked it loose from the floor.
Man.
We had three tambourines that started the minute the first note was hit on the piano. And people were on their feet ready to worship God as soon as the first note was hit. We didn't have to go 15 minutes into praise and worship before everybody finally settled into their seat and decided whether they were going to sit or stand. You see, we look around at our church today and I wonder about us. When I see us grumbling and complaining about things and everybody's upset about this and about that, and I get a little smart aleck every now and then, and Sister Melissa sees it coming, and she usually gets the blunt end of it. But I asked her the other day, I said, well, I'm going to do this. Do you reckon I'll get fired? She said, do it anyway, babe. And if we're not careful, we'll get to the point because of all the bondage. Now, I'm talking to you as the pastor. We get to the point every now and then that we're, because of all the bondage and all the stuff that goes on, that we're thinking, God, do we listen to you or do we listen to them? We're going to get in trouble if we listen to them, and then we're going to get in trouble if we listen to you. Amen. Which way are we going to go here? We're going to listen to him. And if it means that we have to come into God's house and house clean every now and then. Brother Herb made a statement that was very profound but very simple back a few months ago, and I've been reminded of it more than once. Every time I feel my feet getting stuck in the mud, I get reminded of the statement that he made, that sheep are nasty. And every now and then you have to put on the boots and clean out the stall. Clothespin on your nose. You see where I'm going? It pews, that's right. Because that's where the sheep sit. Ooh. Some of you are going to be mad at me again today. If we are so bound up in what everybody else thinks about everything that we say or do, then let me tell you, we're never going to even hear what God has to say for us. We've got to get to a place that we begin to stop worrying about everything else and begin worrying about what God wants for us and what He is calling us to do.
Amen.
And shake off the rest of it.
Amen.
I was thinking about that song, and like I said, I thought about playing the video and kind of decided against it because I thought it might upset some people. But the first church that I pastored, we would play that song every now and then. And the church would get up and be dancing. And we'd have ladies that would get right up in the front, not even at their seats. They'd come right up in the front in the altar area, and they'd be doing this while they were singing. Shaking loose that stuff. Get those shackles off of us.
Amen.
You see, I used to work in a state prison, and I understand what shackles are. You can't move very well with shackles on.
Amen.
I've put them on people's ankles and their wrists and the belly chain that would keep them from moving even from side to side, chain their feet to their hands. I've put that stuff on men. I know how binding that is, and sometimes we allow ourselves to get to a place from all the dust and dirt that we're in that we're so bound we can't move from side to side or see anything other than our problem right in front of us. But God calls us to a life of freedom where we're free from the bondage and we're allowed to look up and see Him and raise our hands and give Him glory and praise. And understand that when He has set us free, it doesn't matter what your past is.
That's right.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that I come from a home where my parents divorced. It doesn't matter that I came from a home where we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. It doesn't matter that I came from a place where there was no running water and where I didn't have a bedroom. It didn't matter that I came from a place of true poverty. But what matters is that God has set me free from all of the struggle and the bondage in this life. And I may not have everything that I want, but He promised me I would have everything that I need. So instead of worrying about everything else under the sun, we need to be concerned about what He thinks and whether we're pleasing Him. I preached last Sunday morning on our worship, and if our worship is pleasing to Him, it doesn't matter to you or to me. Come on. It doesn't matter. It's comical. Pentecostal people are funny people. And I get tickled every time I see somebody cut loose and start to shout. But every time I see somebody start to cut loose and shout, I look around the church and I see all of the people looking at them and staring them down. And I think, Lord, ship it on over there and get a hold of them too.
Amen.
Wake them up and let them shout all over the floor a time or two and see what it feels like.
Amen.
Don't sit back there and make fun of them. Acts chapter 13, 50 through 52 says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. The Jews. And the chief men of the city and raised persecution. You hear that? The Jews stirred things up and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You see, when you and I are bound down by all of the things around us, we're not really full of joy. We can pretend. We put on a good show, don't we? Sure we do. It never ceases to amaze me how we are as human beings. Somebody asks you how you are. Aren't you always fine? Liar. Well, I'm good. How are you? That's my response. I may feel like I'm dying. I'm good, brother. How are you doing? Come on, I'm telling you the truth. That's how we are. But I also look at us and I see how many of us like to stir in the mess. I had an aunt many years ago. I was a young teenager. Who, she and I loved to aggravate my grandmother. My grandmother was a sweet lady. She was 6 foot tall. Thin, never ate leftovers. She said she didn't have to. She'd throw out everything that was left over before we could even put it in a bowl to take home with us, except the desserts. And she'd eat dessert every night for dinner for a week. Never gained a pound. Made me sick. We made fun of her one year at Thanksgiving when there, after divorces took place in the family. There were 8 of us there, and she had 12 desserts. She had fixed everybody's favorites and then about 4 of hers. And we didn't get to take any of that home with us. It all stayed for her. But one year at Thanksgiving, my aunt and I decided to aggravate her, and it was very easy to do. So she had a pot sitting over to the side that had all of the turkey bones in it. And the juice and the grease and some other things. Slop buckets, what it was. That she was going to take out after everything was said and done. And we got to playing with the turkey bones. We found the wishbone and we pulled it apart. And then we got to getting a hold of the leg bones and making them jump and just playing. And she'd come over and she'd just fuss at us and then she'd throw her hands up and she'd walk off. And we'd get to playing again and giggling and laughing. And she'd come over and she'd just fuss and she'd slap on both of us and then she'd throw her hands up and she'd walk off. And we had a blast playing in slop. My, how many people love to do that. Not literally, but we love to play in other people's slop.
Amen.
Did you know that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is going through this? Let me run and tell somebody else about it. Oh, what was that I heard? Oh, let me just add to that and I'll go over here and I'll tell this person.
Come on.
Come on. Some of those things we need to shake off. That innate feeling that human beings have to stir in the mess. We need to shake it off.
Amen.
We are human beings, but the Bible says we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. That we're supposed to come out and be separate from this world. In other words, that we should be able to come to church and have church people, Christians, who really act like Christians. Where it's a safe place that we can come together, and if I'm hurting, I could tell you my problems without the fear and worry that it would be on the 10 o'clock news tonight because somebody walked out and told all my business. That won't cost you nothing. I didn't know it was coming. The dust that we accumulate and add to ourselves, we need to have a shaking every now and then. Just to shake us loose from the mess so that we can go forward, onward, and upward to see what great things God has in store for us before Jesus Christ comes back and that eastern sky splits. We don't have much time left to work for Him, and we don't have much time to see how many blessings can fall to this earth. So let's get busy about His business and what He wants us to do. Let's see how many things we can make it through instead of giving up every Monday morning. It's a common joke among pastors that the Monday morning is the day to never make a good decision because Monday morning is the day most pastors want to quit. Come on. I was joking with Sister Debbie back a while, and I said, Sister Debbie, you know the national average is 18 months for a pastor to stay at a church, and I'm coming up on that, Rick, and I need to start looking for a place to go. And she said, I'm going to tie you to your seat. If you even think about it. I'm glad that I can look and understand and realize that I am where God has placed me, but I don't have to dwell in the muck and the mire that comes along with life itself. I can be set free from all of the bondage and the shackles that come upon us just by praising Him. I went through Walmart yesterday praising Him. Come on, you can do that. I got in my truck and I was praising Him. We got in the car and went and get something to eat and I got to praise Him. Every time those aggravating little kids were screaming, Lord, touch them, and I thank You anyway for them. Come on. Oh, some of y'all aren't going to own up to it. You must be holier than I am. They don't ever get on your nerves. Come on. We understand this, that He has set us free. And if He has set us free, then who are we to walk back into bondage? Or who are they around us that we allow them to put us back into bondage? Shake the dust off and leave it laying. Let it go back to the dirt where it's supposed to be. Someplace that you don't need to water. My great uncle was a pig farmer, and I'll close with this. Every year he would come over, one of his farms was right in front of our house. And remember, I said we didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were up. And every summer he would come over and he would spray manure over that field right in front of our house. Pigs stink, and they're dirty. And I don't care if you take a pig and you wash it off and you clean it up really good, you let it go and it'll go right back to the mud hole it just came out of. My sister was like that when she was about 1.5, 2 years old. She loved playing the mud hole. Those pigs find comfort in that mud. We should find our comfort in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the work that He can do through us. Stand with me this morning. You see, I look at our situation and I see a lot of us allowing things to tear us down and break us apart, and I see divisions form, and I see us allow things to come between us and our brothers and sisters. or between us and God. And the only person that can stop that is us. The only person that can affect your spiritual walk and your relationships with others is you. So I came to church this morning expecting God to show up.
Amen.
And He did.
Amen.
I came this morning and I stayed in my office all morning. Not trying to avoid anybody. Just didn't want anything. So that I could come in here fresh. With that dust I'd already shaken off of me. If you and I would learn to do that, that we would begin to shake it off before we would even come to church, and determine that whoever didn't shake it off isn't going to affect me through the service.
Amen.
I see us come in and say, well, so-and-so's got an attitude today. What's their problem? And I sit over here, my arms crossed, looking all mad and sorry. What's your problem? I want us to pray together. And I want us to ask God to help us, not only as a church, but as individuals, that God would help us to shake off these things that we allow to bind us and hold us down. Father, I praise You this morning and I thank You, Lord, because You are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. I thank You this morning, God, because You send us wake-up calls sometimes. And I thank You, God, because You are alive and well. There are no other gods greater than You. There are no other living gods who can supply our needs. There's no one else that can set us free from the bondage that we live in. There's nobody else that can set us apart from this world and its turmoil. Lord, I pray today, God, that You would move in every one of our lives. God, that our church would be improved because of this day. As we begin to realize, God, that You set us free, we don't need to pick up the bondage again. Help us, God, to shake it off today before we leave this place. God, that we would be a new creature, a fresh creature, walking in a fresh anointing because of what You've done in our lives.
Lord of glory.
This has been the broadcast time of the Rushing Wind Church of God with Pastor David Tucker from Owensboro, Kentucky. You may contact Pastor Tucker by emailing rwcogpastor@gmail.com. That's rwcogpastor@gmail.com. Or through the website www.rushingwindchurch.com. That's rushingwindchurch.com. Or write to P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky. The zip code is 42304. Again, that's P.O. Box 22415, Owensboro, Kentucky. The zip code 42304. And again, the website rushingwindchurch.com. Thanks for listening to Mighty Winds of Praise with Pastor David Tucker on VOTL Radio.